Let's turn in our Bibles now to Psalm 33 for our scripture reading today. I'll read the first, the odd-numbered verses. Pastor Brian will lead the congregation as you read the even-numbered verses, and let's stand as we read the Word of God. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, for praise is beautiful for the upright.
Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings.
Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise.
For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth.
He loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord.
By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth.
He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses.
Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him.
For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast.
The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect.
The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance.
The Lord looketh down from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men.
From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth.
He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works.
There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength.
A horse is a vain thing for safety, and neither shall he deliver any by his great strength.
Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy.
To deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine.
Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name.
Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee.
Let's have prayer. Lord, we come to you today in our weakness, seeking your strength. In our confusion, seeking, Lord, your wisdom and your guidance for our lives. Lord, we realize that vain is the help of man, but we know, Lord, how desperately we need your help. We need your strength. We need the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, working in us, making us what you would have us to be. And so as we turn to your word, speak to us this day, Lord, from your word. Guide us, we pray, into that place of refuge, into that place of strength, into that place of victory that we can know through our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit working in us. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Almost through with the Old Testament, entering this week into the book of Zechariah, the next to last book of the Old Testament. Soon, in about 5 weeks, we'll be going into the New Testament in our journey through the Bible. Been an exciting time as we've gone through the Old Testament once again, but looking forward to getting into the New Testament in just a few weeks now. Tonight, there will be the study of Zechariah chapters 1 through 4. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 6, where the Lord answered Zechariah and said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the days of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven, the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Have you ever been working on a project and you've come to the realization that you just can't do it? There's no use even trying any further. The task is just too great. Have you ever had the feeling that you're overwhelmed by your circumstances? Come to the place where you felt, I don't have the strength to take one more step. I might as well just quit trying. Have you ever just felt like giving up? One day when our younger daughter was 6 years old, Kay and I came home, and we found that she had left us a note. It read, It's no use. I have ran away. Have you ever felt that way? It's just no use. I'm going to run away. Somehow, hopefully, I can escape this dilemma that I'm facing. Discouragement. Defeat. Wanting to give up. Zerubbabel had led a group of some 50,000 people from Babylon back to Jerusalem. They had come for the express purpose of rebuilding the temple. They had high hopes. There was excitement. They were going to build the temple and thus prepare the way for many other Jews to return back to the homeland. And it was an exciting trip for them until they came to Jerusalem. They had heard the stories of the glory of the city, the beauty of the city, the beauty of the surroundings. They had heard of the temple and its magnificence. But when they came, all they found was piles and piles of rubble. The task looked hopeless. They started out, but it was one of those things where you could work all day long, and you look at what has been accomplished, and you realize, I've been laboring all day, and I can't even see any results of my labor. And when that goes on for day after day and week after week, you can't see any real progress being made. It gets discouraging. You become demoralized. And that's exactly what happened to these people. They were very discouraged. They were very demoralized because the task was much greater than what they had ever dreamed or what they had ever imagined in their minds. The book of Haggai was written about the same time as Zechariah. And Haggai had called the people back to work, encouraged them to get back to the job. He had pointed out that they had had crop failures. They were going through great financial difficulty. And he said, the reason for this is that you have neglected the things of the Lord. And you've neglected the building of the house of the Lord, and you've been concentrating on the remodeling of your own houses, getting them all fixed up, but you've left the house of the Lord still in a state of disrepair. And he encouraged them to get back to work, and if they would, that God would bless their crops and God would bless their efforts if they would just return to the work. Basically, he was saying you've got your priorities all mixed up. You're putting yourself first. You need to put the Lord first. You're putting your own projects first. You need to put the Lord's project first. Get the right priority. And you know, our basic relationship is a vertical relationship. Our lives revolve on an axis. My relationship with God, that's primary. That's got to be right. If that is right, the other relationships will be right. If that is out of kilter, then my other relationships will be out of kilter. Because there seems to be a fixed axis, so that if my relationship with God is right, the horizontal plane of my life will be right, and my relationships with others will be what they should be. But if my relationship with God is out of kilter, then it throws out of kilter the horizontal plane of my life. And so I have my highs, I have my lows, because I'm spinning on this axis and it's out of kilter. And so my relationships become all mixed up. The answer is to just get a right relationship with God. So many people spend their whole life trying to live a well-balanced life, trying to balance things out. And they find that they're always out of kilter somewhere along the line. Things just don't seem to balance out. And that's because you've got a wrong relationship with God. When that becomes what it should be, then you'll find that every other relationship will also become what it should be. Now, through the prophet Zechariah, God is going to send a message to Zerubbabel, who was the leader of the people in this project of the rebuilding of the temple. He was going to encourage him to return to the work of the rebuilding of the temple. And so Zechariah saw this strange, interesting vision. It was a vision of the menorah, that lampstand that stood in the temple to give light to the temple. It was 7 golden candlesticks on the one base, and at the top of each of the arms was a little cup that was daily filled with oil by one of the priests. He would come each day, fill it with oil, trim the wick, and the idea was to make certain that the light would never go out. The menorah was a symbol. It was a symbol of God's desire for the nation of Israel that they be the light of the world. Interesting that the same symbol is used of the church in the book of Revelation, chapters 1 and 2. The church is looked upon as the 7 candlesticks and the light of the world. As Jesus said, you're the light of the world. But it was God's desire that they be the light of the world. And so this had to be constantly filled with oil each day, tended to daily. That could become a monotonous task. You think, oh, I did that yesterday, but I got to do it again today. You know, every day, you know, same thing. And it could become a monotonous task. But in his vision, he saw not just the menorah, but he saw 2 olive trees, one on either side of the menorah. And there were 7 pipes that went directly from the olive tree into the bowls of oil there at the top of the lampstand. And thus there was a continuous fresh supply of oil that was coming directly from the olive tree on into the candelabra. And the Lord said, "What do you see? Do you understand this?" And Zechariah said, "No, I don't." And so the Lord said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, this mountain shall be removed." The mountain of rubble, the mountain of debris that they had been working so hard on. Zerubbabel, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. They had used might and power. They had worked with all of their might, but they couldn't really see any results of the work. The word might in Hebrew is a word that is used for human resources and human ability. The word power denotes a human effort, physical and mental. But it isn't going to be by devices. It isn't going to be by programs. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, when the day has only begun, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Today, we see men who are trying by might and power to build the Church of Jesus Christ. In the monthly periodicals that I receive, in each of them, there are always many different conferences being advertised. Conferences where you can go and you can learn all of the latest fundraising techniques in order that there might be sufficient funds for the church to do its job. Or there are other seminars that are devoted to stimulate church growth, how to get new people into the church, or others that how to win the world for Jesus Christ. There are Christian think tanks where men come together to explore ideas of how to make the church more attractive to the world. They're seeking to devise success formulas, and for a price, you can come and learn their recipes for how to build a big church. Step-by-step processes whereby you can evangelize your community. I was going to say that these programs are a dime a dozen, but in reality, they're $395 per seminar. If you register in advance, and if you wait until you get to the door, it's $500. I've been in the ministry for over 50 years. I've seen hundreds of these programs come and go. And in the earlier years of my ministry, I even participated in a few. But as Zerubbabel, I became discouraged after putting out so much effort and seeing so little to show for it. I finally gave up on men's devices. I just started teaching the scriptures, as I often say, simply teaching the word simply. Developing a fellowship, a love, a communion. Observing the Lord's Supper and other church ordinances, and organizing the people in prayer groups. And I found that the Lord did, as he did in the early church in Acts, where it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those that should be saved." When the church is doing what the Lord wants the church to do, the Lord will do for the church what he desires to do. People come from all over the world to try to discover the secret of the phenomenal work that the Lord has been doing here. They're usually disappointed because we don't have any success programs to sell to them. They're usually looking for some power, some might, some power evangelism, or some new secret for church growth. Some program that they can take back to their community and implement and see a large church. But there's nothing that we have that you can take back. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit that God has worked here. Paul, writing to the Galatians, said, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? I want to ask you, did you receive the Spirit by the works or by the hearing of faith? And are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be made perfect in the flesh?" Interesting how that God begins a work so often and we want to improve on it. We want to start to perfect what God began in the flesh. Get involved. I can remember back in the late 60s, early 70s, when the hippie movement was gaining so much press throughout the United States, this subculture movement that was a threat to organized kind of living. I read in Time magazine an article about 65 hippies down at Black's Beach in San Diego. They had removed all of their clothes and they were sunning themselves in the bare. And they then went swimming in the ocean. And here was this article in Time magazine, and it was news, you know, of these hippies in California, you know, now nude bathing down at Black's Beach in San Diego. And I thought to myself, you know, I'd like to write the religion editor of Time magazine and let him know that there were hippies in California that were doing other things than bathing nude at the beach. That there were hundreds of hippies, not just 65, but hundreds of hippies that were being baptized and entering into a new life in the beaches here in Southern California. And as I was searching to find the telephone number for the religion editor of Time magazine, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "Who's been your publicity agent up till now?" And I said, "Well, you have, Lord. I mean, we haven't advertised in papers. You've been our publicity agent." He said, "Well, aren't you happy with what I've done? You've been in the newspaper several times. You've been in Life magazine. You've been in Reader's Digest. You've been in magazines over in Germany. Aren't you satisfied with what I've done?" And I had to apologize and repent and to say, "Lord, forgive me. You've been doing an excellent job, and I know that I can't improve. Forgive me my folly, Lord, for even thinking such a thought." When I got home, Kay said to me, "Honey, there's a man in the living room. He's from Time magazine." And so I went into the living room to meet him, and he said, "We'd like to do an article on these hippies coming to Jesus." And he said, "Are you going to have a baptism or something that we can get pictures and do this article?" And the Lord said, "You know, what's your problem?" Having begun in the Spirit, Paul said, are you going to be made perfect in the flesh? But yet that seems to be a tendency. The Lord was saying to Zerubbabel, "You've worked hard, Zerubbabel, until you're totally exhausted. You're at the point of giving up. You've pushed the people until there is no more push. And it is true that you can push people so far that when they don't see the promised results, they get discouraged and quit. That's a good time when you realize, I can't do it. I've done my best and I can't see any result or any fruit. I just can't do it." That isn't defeat. That's the road to victory. When you understand that you can't do it. This is where Zerubbabel was. He came back with high hopes. People were excited as they were approaching Jerusalem. "We'll be there tomorrow." Oh, you know, and excitement. But then the discouragement after a few weeks, and they couldn't see much progress. Devastation was so great. It's sort of like what is happening down in the South, in New Orleans and in Mississippi and those areas that were ravaged by the hurricane. You can't imagine the devastation. Even to the present time, they've been working so hard. And still you drive through what was once neighborhoods and things are still so many piles of rubble and debris that you just think, can it ever be renewed? And that was the case there at the temple. They had been working so hard until they finally gave up. And that is when the Lord said, "Look, it's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my spirit. This mountain of rubble shall be removed. The temple will be rebuilt. Zerubbabel, you laid the foundation and you're going to put in the final stone. You're going to accomplish the task, but not by might or by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." The result of letting the Lord work in your life is that, first of all, the work gets done. You will discover that what you can't do in and of your own strength or ability, the Lord can do when you let Him do His work in you. When we are looking at a task, we usually measure it with certain words. We say, "Well, that's very simple," or "That's easy," or "Well, that's hard," or "Well, that is difficult." And then there are those we say, "Well, that's impossible." And we measure things by our level of ability, our strength, or our resources. And that is why so oftentimes we say, "Well, it just can't be done. That's impossible. There's no way that that can be done." Because we're measuring it by our ability. But you see, when God becomes the agent that is doing the work, I don't think that God knows the word impossible. He said to Jeremiah, "Hey, I'm God. Is there anything too hard for me?" And when you think of it, if He created this entire universe, what could be hard? What could be difficult? What could be impossible for God? Nothing. And so we can't really look at it with our failure and determine it's impossible to be done just because I can't do it. What is impossible for me is divinely simple for God. It's nothing, as the King Asa said to the Lord, "For you to help. Whether we have many or we have few. Lord, your help is nothing for you." I mean, it's overwhelming. We've got a million man army moving against us, and we don't have the strength or the power to meet that army. But Lord, it's nothing for you to help. And we need to observe the situation, not with our limited strength or resources, but we need to see it in the light of God's ability and God's power, not by might of man, not by the power of man, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So, when God is the agent that is doing the work does get done. The Lord said, this mountain, talking about that rubble, shall be removed. Secondly, you have the assurance that the task will be accomplished. In verse 9, the Lord said, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. When God comes in, what he begins, he will finish. Finally, and most importantly, when we recognize that it is not something that we can do, but we are willing to release the situation to allow God to work by his Spirit, then when the work is accomplished, we can only give glory to God for what he has done. I do believe that God oftentimes allows us to come to that place of giving up, frustration, can't do it, impossible. He lets us get there so that we will turn it over to him. So we will recognize that it is only God that can do this, so that when God then does it, we're not out boasting or glorying in what we have done, but we are out praising God and glorifying God for what he has done. We have no tendency to take the glory because we had given up, we had failed, and we just turned it over to him and watched him do what we couldn't do, and we rejoice in him and praise him for what he has done. Oftentimes, I believe that God waits for us to get to that point of total discouragement and despair in our own efforts so that we will turn it over to him, to allow him to do it for us. You remember when the disciples had gone to the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection of Jesus to meet him there. And they were waiting there at the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus had not yet shown up. And Peter said to the others, I'm going fishing. They said, well, we'll go with you. And they went out and they fished all night and caught nothing. In the morning, Jesus was standing on the shore, and he called out and he said, catch anything? And they said, nah. He said, well, cast your nets on the other side. And so they cast their nets on the other side, and immediately they were filled with great fish. So many that the nets were too heavy. They couldn't draw them into the boat. Now, when John saw that they couldn't draw the nets in because of the multitude of fish, he said to Peter, it's the Lord. And you know, when you've fished all night and caught nothing, when you feel the disappointment of failure, and then suddenly you get an impression, why don't you try this? And it begins to work, and there's phenomenal success. You know, there's only one reason for it. It's not that you learned a better technique. It's the Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And we've had the joy and the pleasure of watching God work by his Spirit. And we marvel at what the Lord has done. And we rejoice and praise him. And all we can say is, to God be the glory for the great things he has done. Now, God wants to work in your life today, and there are probably places in your life where you've given up. maybe a habit, and you've tried everything you know to break that habit, and you know the danger that it is in your life. You know how it is destroying you, and yet you can't free yourself. And you feel this helplessness, this hopelessness. You've given up. But it's not by might nor by power, but God can do it by His Spirit. It may be that you've been witnessing to someone and they've just sort of mocked and scorned and said, hey, leave me alone, I don't want to hear it anymore. And you've sort of given up and you think, well, there's no hope for them. Their heart is so hard. Good time for God to work. Turn it over to the Lord. It's not by might, not by our wisdom, not by our abilities. But this mountain can be removed by the Spirit of God. And so may the Lord help us to discover the truth that God was bringing to discouraged Zerubbabel, who had decided that he couldn't do it. And the Lord came along and said, it's not by your might, not by your power, but by my Spirit, Zerubbabel, this mountain shall be removed. You'll finish the task through the power of the Spirit. Hope for you today who have been discouraged because of your own weakness and because you've come to the end of your resources, but there's hope today as you turn to the Lord. Father, we thank you for that hope that we have this day, for the power of your Holy Spirit that you have given to us to give us, Lord, the victories that we could never attain ourselves. And Lord, we pray for those today who have come to that place of discouragement and defeat, where they are now recognizing that they can't do those things they wanted to do, were seeking to do. And Lord, I pray that as they've come to that place, that they will also come to the place of discovering your ability to do what they can't do for themselves. And may they turn, Lord, the situations over to you and have, Lord, that assurance that you will work, you will do it, and they will rejoice in the work of the Lord as they watch you, Lord, accomplish the impossible feats. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask these things. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to minister to you and to pray for you today. If you've been struggling with issues in your life and you have really been defeated by them, don't give up. Turn it over to the Lord and then watch Him work. What a joy and what a blessing and how thrilling it is. And, you know, praise just rises spontaneously as you watch God do what you couldn't do and you found out and recognize, I can't do it, but you watch God do it. Oh, what a victory and what a joy. May the Lord just be with you and give you victory and give you strength to do the impossible through the Spirit of God and through the power of His Spirit working in your life. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up,
the Lord lift up
His countenance
above.